Be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is The Surprise of Faith. And I have a surprise for you. The text we're preaching on is not one of the three we've just read. It's a free text. Let me read that for you from Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. Just say the word. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. So far, the text. I encourage you to follow your outline. It's sort of a pinkish color this morning as we consider our sermon theme, I should say, the surprise of faith. All of us like nice surprises. There's nothing like an unexpected, wonderful surprise that comes into our lives that brightens our day, brings a smile to our face, and a hop to our step. Some surprises, though, make us pause for a while when we try to figure out just what has happened and how we should respond to it. Last summer, in the first part of June 2007, on a wonderful, bright summer afternoon in Leduc, Alberta, Beverly and I received a phone call. It was a surprise phone call from this guy named Alan Schellenberg. He phoned to announce that I'd been just officially called to be the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church here in Richmond. It was a surprise, and our reactions? I laughed. Beverly cried. Sometimes surprises bring different reactions. In the sermon text for today, about the healing of the centurion's servant and the centurion's great faith, we find a surprise. Jesus says in our text, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in all of Israel like the faith of this Roman centurion. Have you ever noticed how the gospel writers use their stories of Jesus' miracles to focus on the surprise of faith? 9 miracle stories in the scriptures do just this. Such is the case here in the story of the Roman centurion, a commander of 100 troops garrisoned at the military outpost of Capernaum. Now, I once just recently read through all the miracle stories together and found each of them reveal a remarkable different reaction of faith. But one key idea appears again and again. Almost a law of reversal, like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. This idea, and let me give you a hint, it's also the central thought of today's sermon. This idea is this. Faith appears where least expected and falters where it should be thriving. Now, a few people demonstrated bold, unshakable faith, like this centurion who told Jesus, you don't have to come to my house with a personal visit. Just say the word and you can heal my servant long distance. Another time, recorded in Matthew 15, a Canaanite woman pursued Jesus, hounded Jesus, as Jesus was seeking some peace and quiet. Now, at first, he wouldn't speak with her. He wanted to be left alone. I've had days like that around here. But then he replied to her sharply. He said, "I have only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel, not Canaanite dogs, not Gentile dogs like her." But she wouldn't give up. And finally, she won Jesus over and listened to Jesus' reply, "Woman, I have never seen," he said, "such great pursuing faith." Jesus seemed impressed that foreigners to the faith, like this Roman centurion and this Canaanite woman, were the least people likely to demonstrate such great faith in him. Why should this man and this woman, who had no Jewish faith, no Jewish roots, put their trust in a Messiah whose countrymen had trouble accepting him? These stories sometimes, I must confess, threaten me, because seldom do I have such unshakable faith like the Canaanite woman and the Roman centurion. I'm discouraged sometimes, and I'm sure some of you also are discouraged at times, by what seems to be the silence of God to your prayers. We say things like, "Hello, God? Anybody up there? Hello? Remember me? You know the prayer I'm praying. I prayed it so many times. Hello?" When my prayers go unanswered, I confess, sometimes I feel like, probably many of you do, I feel like giving up and not asking again. Do you ever identify with that man who said to Jesus in Mark 9:24 these words? He said, "Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief." Often you and I echo those words, dangling somewhere between belief and unbelief, wondering how much we miss out on because of our lack of faith. And sometimes in the scripture lessons, Jesus was amazed by the lack of faith by those he encountered who should have known better. As I read through these miracle stories, I'm surprised by this fact. And those of you who have ears to hear this morning, let you hear these words because they apply to us. I'm surprised in these stories that the people who knew Jesus best, the people who spent the most time with him, the people who heard his teachings and were eyewitnesses to his miracles, were often the ones that faltered in their faith. One day, while in a boat with Jesus, during a storm at sea, the disciples who should have had faith in Jesus were completely clueless. Listen to Mark 5. Listen to this wonderful story of Scripture. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in a boat, and there arose a fierce gale of wind. The waves were breaking over the boat so much the boat was filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And he got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and the sea became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why is it that you have such little faith?" And they became afraid and said to one another, "Who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him. The disciples not only had little faith, they weren't even sure who Jesus was. And then let's consider John the Baptist, who had seen the Spirit of the Lord descend like a dove, who had heard the voice of the Father at Jesus' baptism, who himself had proclaimed with strength, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This same John later questioned Jesus, "Are you really the Christ?" And Peter, James, and John, Jesus' three most intimate disciples, they saw the dramatic miracle of Jesus' transfiguration on the Mount. They saw his face and clothing shine like the sun. They saw these two heroes of the Old Testament faith, Moses and Elijah, appear. They heard audibly the voice of God. And yet, shortly after this event, they joined the rest of the 12 in abandoning and forsaking Jesus. And we easily forget that Judas had for 3 years heard the wonderful words coming from Jesus' mouth, had for 3 years seen the wonderful healings that came from Jesus' hands. Even so, Judas betrayed Jesus for cab fare. We could pick on Thomas here as well, but hey, none of the disciples believed the women's reports when they came back from the empty tomb saying, "He's not here, he's risen." And even after Jesus appeared to these men in person, Matthew records these words, "Some doubted." Listen to the central idea of our sermon again. Faith appears where least expected and falters where it should be thriving. Now, let's put this all together this morning, and let's get real together in this place. We who should know better, we who should trust better, are often faithless. But he is faithful. Oh, he is faithful. Listen to his holy word, to his promises to you. They're written on your sermon outline. Look at the bold on the bottom of your outline. Look at those passages. 1 Corinthians 1, "You are faithless, we are faithless, but he is faithful to us." 1 Corinthians 1, "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass." 2 Thessalonians 3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." And I've saved the best one for last. 2 Timothy 2, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Let me say that again. This is the promise of God's word that you want to take home with you this morning. If we are faithless, yet he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God calls each of us this morning to be his cross-eyed people. Look with eyes this morning upon that cross. See there his loving faithfulness to you. Let his faithfulness cross your eyes and your minds and your hearts. Know that there on that old rugged cross, there is found the forgiveness of your sins. There is found the forgiveness of your faithlessness. There at the foot of that instrument of death, overlooking the city garbage dump in Jerusalem, was the place where you received your life, your salvation, and your faith. Who'd have thunk it? Faith appears where it's least expected. And this was the lesson learned by a pastor from Chicago, Illinois, who ministered near the Cabrini Green housing projects, one of the roughest and most burnt out areas in all of Chicago. The congregation was in a crisis. Finances were down. Attendance was dropping. The area desperately needed the gospel ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, but people were afraid to come into the neighborhood. And the leadership of the church suggested an all-day prayer vigil, an all-night prayer vigil. But many raised questions about who would come because of feelings of not being safe. Nevertheless, the night was scheduled. And to the pastor's surprise, the oldest and the poorest members of the congregation came to the prayer vigil. A group of gray-haired, white-haired, blue-haired people from the nearby housing development, from the housing project, were the ones who responded to the all-night prayer vigil most enthusiastically. Now, how many of their prayers seemed to go unanswered? They lived in the projects. They were often hungry. Their strength and their health were failing. Yet they came, an army of them. And thinking of the hard pews and uncomfortable kneelers, the pastor asked them, "How long do you want to stay? An hour or two?" "Oh no, Pastor," was the reply. "We'll stay all night." And one black woman, a great grandmother in her 90s, who walked with a cane and could barely see because of cataracts on her eyes, said this, "Pastor, we ain't got money, but we got Jesus. We ain't got youth, but we got Jesus. We ain't got energy, but we got Jesus. We ain't got education, but we got Jesus. No, we'll stay all night." And they did. Faith appears where it's least expected. They had all they needed. They had Jesus. And so do you. If we are faithless, yet He remains faithful, you can count on it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.